Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Blackhawks Live.
The always Hall of Fame win.
Let's go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
Yeah, welcome in. Another, our Monday number four here since we began the season before puck drop happened in Tampa Bay 4 weeks ago. And always having a lot of fun here on these hour-long Monday night shows. Nick Gismondi and yours truly, Chris Bowden, joining you. We will be joined in a few minutes by Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colleton, and he's coming off a win last night. He and 21, 22, maybe even more other guys. 3-1 the final over the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Nick's second straight Monday, we have a game to talk about in which we both came away impressed. In last week's instance, they were coming off a victory over Detroit. We wanted to see how they would handle that, tasting success for the first time. And they came up with an even better effort against the Red Wings in that Sunday afternoon matchup. And this Monday, they fall to Columbus Friday 2-1 in a game they probably easily could have won, in some cases may have deserved to win. How would they react to that? Would they get frustrated, or would it spur them on even more to an even better performance? But the latter is what we saw last night in the 3-1 victory.
Yeah, listen, I love the adaptability of this group, and I know we're going to talk about it later a little bit, and we'll get into it with Coach too, but when you think about the situation that these guys have been in this year, it's really impressive where they're at. I mean, like I've said a million times, the shortened training camp, the weird summer, right into a season of some uncertainty. And then on top of all of that, you've got a virtually half of the lineup brand new and different guys and different looks, and then a taxi squad and a complete changeover in your goaltending situation from last year. So the fact that these guys have been able to do what they've done and to be where they're at right now, I think is very impressive. Yeah, they're a little bit below 500 at the moment, but keep in mind, they've got 9 points. They're 2 points off the top of that division, and on top of that, they have 9 points, which is the same as the Tampa Bay Lightning, your Stanley Cup champion from last year. So everything that these guys are doing is the right thing, but take numbers and stats aside and get rid of that. I just like the way that this team is playing, and I like the way that this team is competing on a night-in, night-out basis.
Yeah, and there's just so many wild cards in the equation here this year that everyone just kind of has to keep an open mind, roll with the punches, and I think that's very much what this Blackhawks team has done since opening up in those first four games in Florida were a little bit bumpy, but it's about growing and taking incremental steps game by game, and again, it's not always going to be linear and smooth, and the arrow pointing upward, there's going to be setbacks here and there just by the makeup of this club, but you like the direction that they have been taking and the consistency they are gradually beginning to show. And coming up this week, two other big dogs who have been impressive here from a postseason standpoint lately, Carolina coming to the United Center for games Tuesday and Thursday, and it's off to Dallas to take on the Stanley Cup runner-up for the first time this season coming up on Sunday and then the following Tuesday. So we're going to take our first break here. When we come back, we will hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeremy Colleton. He'll join us next on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive.
Desperation shot there by Atkinson is blocked by Strome, and time winds off the clock. The Blackhawks hang on for a 3-1 victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets. They take back the 2 points they lost on Friday night, and a good team win here for the Hawks as they beat their Central Division rivals by a pair at 3-1.
The dulcet tones of Johnny Weidman last night at the United Center. The Blackhawks capped off a 3-1 victory over the Columbus Blue Jackets. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Along with Nick Gismondi, I'm Chris Bowden. It's our pleasure now to bring in the head coach of the Blackhawks in his third season, Jeremy Colleton. Jeremy, thanks for doing this on an off night at home when family time, I know, is during the season is so valuable. I almost hate to ask this when coaches just strive for the goal is first place. The goal is lifting a Stanley Cup over your head rather than a 3-4-3 record through 10 games. But it seems like this team has come a ways since that trip to Florida. And while I know there is still lots of work to do, you're going to tell us that. What's been most encouraging to you over the past couple of weeks?
Yeah, you're right. We're not satisfied with where we're at, but how we get to where we want to be is getting better every day. And I think we've had a lot of good days in a row where we're improving. And I think that's probably the thing that's most encouraging, is that we're trending in the right direction. We've got a lot of young guys who have seize the opportunity to play and contribute, and I like the work ethic of our team, and you know, especially basically since we got back from the road, we've been really competitive, and of course we want to put more points on the board, but how we get there is by playing hard and doing a lot of little things right.
Coach, I gotta pump your tires, and I know that's not a surprise. People, know that I'm the positive guy, but for me, you being a great communicator, I think puts you in a great spot with this group this year, because you do have so many guys that are sort of Swiss Army, right? They're adapting, they're coming in and out of the lineup, they're playing wing, they're playing center. You've got a mixed bag a little bit, but because you are that communicator, does it allow you to maybe sort of drive your message across a little bit better with this group because they're a little bit more moldable?
Well, I mean, I think it's, I don't, communicator, it feels like it's a label kind of. I mean, to me, I'm just being myself. I think it's, players want, can you help me? Can you help me play better? Can you help, how can we win? What's the plan? How can I play more? How can I help the team win? And as a coaching staff, that's our job, is to deliver that message and help them out. And whether like this year, the year before, the year after, like that's the job. And I think that's the part that's rewarding when hopefully we can put these guys in good situations and help them improve, and then they're going to get what they want, which, depending on where they are in their career. But, right this year, we got a bunch of guys who are trying to find their way in the league, and how can they, contribute at our level, and how can they help us win? And it's fun. It's been a fun group so far. The work ethic's been really good. They've practiced hard. They've taken the feedback and responded. And that's how we're going to get to where we're going.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, because you are getting to see, for various reasons, how a lot of young players react, take steps forward, take steps backward. When you and your staff critique them, be it positively or negatively, do they usually know what's coming and see the same things, or are they often, for lack of a better word, oblivious? And if that's the case, does that make teaching and coaching easier or more difficult, depending on how they see things that you guys are seeing?
Yeah, that's kind of the journey that you want to be on, is so that the more you work with a guy and the more he develops. And I think being able to evaluate your own play is that's a real big asset. And typically when you're young and you're learning kind of what it takes, that maybe at a lower level they really ask to just score, just produce, and everything will work out. And the higher you go, that becomes not enough, So being able to watch someone's transformation, so that, after a game, you come at them and you say, hey, I got a couple of clips for you. And then like, yeah, I know what you're going to show me. Like that, to me, that shows that you're going in the right direction. And then they start coaching themselves. Then they start coaching each other, the talk on the bench, the talk in the room, in between periods. And that's really when you start making progress, is when they know, they understand how the team needs to play, what's important for the team to have success. And then they take a lot of pride in doing it, because that's what it's about. We talk a lot about protect the guy you're on the ice with, protect your teammates, put them in a good spot. if you have the right mindset, there's a lot of pride that goes into that, and it becomes something you can rally around. And so then when you see other guys doing those things, you know, blocking a shot with their back, or, you know, driving the puck, you know, 180 feet to allow the rest of the group to change, taking it to make a play at a line, then it's a lot easier for the group to recognize that, hey, this is really important. That's what's going to help us win. So we're getting there.
It's intentions and execution. If the intentions are good, but the execution is off, you know, that's where you can work with it a little bit. I feel like you're the kind of guy that if the intentions are bad, that's when you're going to have an issue with what's happening on the ice, and that's what you're going to want to fix. You're not going to penalize them for a misexecution if their intentions are right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of how I think. You know, obviously we're trying to play the best players. We're trying to win hockey games, and you got to earn your ice time based on, you know, how you play. But, we have a bunch of players who we feel, you know, the end product is going to be greater than where they are right now. And part of how we get them there is to give them opportunity to thrive, or they may fail. But as long as they're failing, you know, in the right way, they're trying to do the right thing. And maybe they can't quite execute, or it doesn't work, or bad bounce, or whatever it may be. Like, we can live with that, because over time, if you do the right thing over and over again, you're going to get rewarded. Where you get in trouble is where you get away from it, and you kind of do your own thing, and don't stick with it long enough to get the payoff. And a lot of times, it's not like it's not bad intentions. It's just it's. But you get in your own way. If you can't stick with it long enough to get the payoff, then you're kind of self-destructing. So as a group, we want to be mentally strong, that we're going to be relentless. We're going to be persistent. We're going to do the right thing over and over again. And it may be we do everything right and we still lose, but we'll be on the right path. And that's something we got to focus on.
Those of us on the beat after today's practice heard from Duncan Keith. We've heard from him several times since you reported back on January 3rd. Same for Patrick Kane, a couple times with Andrew Shaw. For guys who were here long before you arrived a few years ago, it sure sounds like they are all in. And despite what they have experienced in the past, the heights that they have reached, there's an excitement level to what's going on here, even though those results don't come nearly as easily as they used to back in the day. How important have they been, and how significant is their help in carrying this message to some of these younger guys you're trying to bring along?
Yeah, you're right. They've been great. Yeah, you know, they've won before, but they want to win again, and they want to be part of winning again. And it's important. You know, these young guys come in and they don't know the league. They don't, you know, it's hard to understand the grind. You can play great, you know, on your first night in, but can you do it on the second one and the next one, the next one, the next one? And that's what the guys who've been in the league, they kind of understand the grind, and you kind of have a minimum standard to your play that's going to get you through, so that even when you're not having a great night, you find a way to survive, and, you know, you don't get in the way of the other guys having success. It may be that, you know, you're not having your best night, but can you just survive, and then it's the guy beside you who's going to pick you up and make the play for the team to win the game. And, you know, ultimately, like, going back to the way it was before, like, the league's changed. Mm-hmm. The league is tighter than ever. So, you know, the margin for error, like, if you're not going on any given night, you're going to lose to the other group, typically. And where we're at, we're climbing the mountain. We're at the bottom. We're trying to climb our way up. So there's not a lot of room for error, and that's it can be a grind. But at the same time, when you look at the guys in our room and the guys who are playing and getting better all the time, they're getting better every day. You see the growth. I think they, just as I am, they get excited too, and they see where we can go. And so then it's fun to come to the rink every day.
Coach, in addition to those positives of the young guys sort of coming along, two big things for me have stood out. The power play success on both units has been great. We've chatted about that a little bit. But the other thing is, and I think this might be, for me, maybe the bigger surprise, is the performance that you're getting from your goaltenders, specifically Lankinen. How much do, maybe somewhat little things like the power play and obviously your goaltender and those question marks turn into really big things for the group as a whole.
Well, those are things that build confidence in your team. You know, if you dominate for a 5-minute stretch and you have a bunch of chances, but they don't go in, and then you finally draw a penalty, like the confidence when those guys go over the boards that they're going to keep that momentum going, and ultimately the belief they're going to break through, is huge for your team. You know, if you go out there and you kick it around and you can't enter clean and it's down the ice, you know, that it's hard to overcome that. It's not insurmountable, but it definitely makes it tougher. So, you know, that's the good power play, good penalty kill, goaltending. Those are confidence builders for the group. You can, when you got momentum, it allows you to keep it. And when you don't have it, it allows you to get a stop on it and start building again. And, you know, those three portions of the game, you know, I think they've been pretty solid for us, and it's allowed us to have some better results lately.
A couple more minutes with head coach Jeremy Colleton of the Blackhawks here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Nick and I were talking earlier that these last two Mondays, coming off the Sunday victories, it's been real fun to talk about the team when it comes to response. And I know that's a word that you use an awful lot. I don't know what the reaction was like Saturday when you had, you know, to abruptly cancel practice when two more COVID cases came up. But a response was needed, or a reaction, the right type of reaction was needed to yet another type of adversity. Was there some extra diligence involved in order to make sure you kept the group focused? I think this comes out like on, in page 277 of the coaching manual under how to handle a pandemic or something like that. But did you have to pay a little extra attention to make sure they weren't distracted by this?
Yeah, well, I think it starts, in Nashville. Like we had some momentum after the Detroit series, and had a really good first period, I thought, and then we just weren't very good for, you know, two periods on that night, losing overtime. We weren't happy with how we played, and you know, I thought we responded well with a gritty road game. You know, it was tough, it wasn't easy. You know, we got some big saves, we found a way to get another point, and then we came home, you know, and I thought our response on Friday was so good. Like, we played so good and yet didn't, you know, come away with nothing. And that's the point. Those are key moments in a team, you know, sort of their growth. Like, how do they respond? And I've seen it both ways, where you kind of, you know, you just can't recover and you go into a funk for a few days, or like I feel we did, we just kept our foot on the gas and stuck with it. You know, that to me was so important, that response. And, you know, after Friday night, like, of course, you send the message after the game, give them the feedback. I mean, we played well, really well, and it didn't work out for us. But, you know, hoping the next day we kind of double down on that and, you know, send the message again, team video, okay, look at all the good things we did. Well, you know, you wake up and then obviously the, you know, COVID situation gets a little bit worse. So, you know, it's a challenge, but I thought the guys were great. Like, they, you know, we didn't skate. We still had the video meeting on Zoom, came to the rink, guys were ready, locked in, and we did what we had to do. It was a really professional performance, and so we get to keep our momentum, and that's great. But then it's the same, can we keep it? You know, can we keep pushing? Can we keep kicking the door in? And it's not going to last forever, right? We're going to have a setback at some point. But then again, it's how do you respond to it? And that's how you build toughness in your group and resiliency that you need to have success.
Well, go kick that door down again tomorrow night against against Carolina. It's just interesting, these next opponents. It's always taking nothing away from Columbus or Nashville, but, you know, here as we go along, even more challenging opponents, it seems. Not that any aren't, but curious to see the response again tomorrow night. Hey, I know you got three kids. Go back to them before they crash on you, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Back to FaceTime. I got an hour. I got an extra hour. They're out west in Calgary, so I got a little bit of wiggle room here.
Very good. Enjoy. Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you. Bye.
Head Coach Jeremy Colleton joining us here on Blackhawks Live. Appreciate his time. Nick and I will discuss a few things about what he said, as well as some other stuff as well when we move along here up until 8 o'clock. Maybe we'll even ask, you know, if any listeners want to ask us a question or something like that on social media. We can maybe kick some of those around. Again, you're listening to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Nick and I are back right after this, but first, it's the 7:30 news with Vic Vaughn.
It's been great so far. I think this the time in Switzerland for sure helped me to come ready for camp here. And I think I got some momentum from playing there and got it over here. So it's been good so far.
That's one of the Blackhawks' new Swiss Army knives, if you will. You got Pugh Suter, and that was Philip Kurashev. You know, just go play with Patrick Kane, Pugh Suter. You get a hat trick last Sunday. Philip Kurashev, you go center for Patrick Kane. You get a goal and assist and let 88 get a goal and assist last night in the 3-1 victory. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Along with Nick Guzmondi, I am Chris Bowden, and just heard from Jeremy Carlton. The wish could have gone longer and longer. He's so detailed in his answers sometimes.
You want to
keep firing away some questions at him, but we want to let him have some family time on an off night as well. But we just heard from Philip Kurashev, and another one of those guys. One of the questions I wanted to ask Jeremy was, he didn't necessarily have to name names, but I think Nick, you can start to see here just 10 games in some pieces on this roster, some young pieces on this roster that you can envision being key components to this club when it becomes good. They're already competitive right now their mindset and style of play. But when it becomes one of those teams that could hang with, you know, the modern day Tampa Bay Lightning or you know, the Colorado Avalanche, once you get back in your division, the St. Louis Blues, the Vegas Golden Knights, you are starting to see some young pieces here that are, you know, instrumental as they develop to being factors when this team is a factor again among the NHL's elite a couple of years down the road.
You know, we talked about this a little bit before we came on it, and you said it, and I want to touch on it, but you get full credit for kind of identifying this group as blue-collar right now. And I think that's the thing that excites me the most about what's going on. They've taken some lumps, obviously, with some unfortunate situations with injuries and obviously some COVID absences, but they have rallied and bounced back and dug in through it. And a lot of that credit goes to some of these young guys. You know, I love the performance of Kurashev. I love the confidence and the take the team on his back mentality of Lankinen, as well as the play of Puse. And then Kane has been fantastic. Zadorov has been a great addition. Connor Murphy is emerging as a leader. Shaw is doing his thing. I can go up and down this roster and point out a positive aspect to every single one of these guys. And, you know, I know I'm always the positive guy, but whatever, that's who I am, and that's who I'll always be. But you know, I was with the Vegas Golden Knights for two seasons, and I watched that group sort of come together and have that same pull themselves up by the bootstraps mentality. A little bit different, yes. Those guys were the misfits, if you will, that came from other teams because their team didn't want them, and they were picked up in the expansion draft. But watching what the Vegas Golden Knights built for two seasons, there's a lot of similarities with what's going on here, and just that vibe that you get from these guys, even though we can't be in the locker room and really pick up on most of it, just the mentality that you can see and that little sparkle in the eyes of guys like Keith and Kane and Shaw and Murphy, that you can tell that they're encouraged to try to pull these guys up and kind of run with it. And that a lot of that excitement, a lot of that momentum comes from these young guys. You know, we talk about Kurashev. He was 6-for-10 on draws.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most faceoffs he's ever taken in his career.
Yeah.
And he has his first multi-point effort, picks up a goal and an apple. I mean, that's what you want. You love that. And Suter, I mean, he's got the confidence of a veteran.
Yeah, and the other thing that this team has done well, you look at those first four games when they give up 20 goals, and this ties into a guy who is starting to establish himself there in net, and with the way he has performed here over these last five games when he's allowed two or fewer goals in Kevin Lankinen, you're seeing a more confident group playing in front of him. And as a result, after his NHL debut, last six games, 10 goals against total for this team. And that includes Malcolm Subban's nice little bounce back last week. We should, you know, stick tap him for the way he rebounded, knocking off 2 weeks of rust since he first debuted and having to sit around and work on things on his own individually. These last six games, they've allowed 10 goals against. Granted, on the other end of the spectrum, the offense has dried up a little bit when, you know, you lose a Boqvist and a DeBrincat, just 7 goals now over the last 4 games. But, you know, we talked a lot about in the pre and post game, and a lot of people on the outside talked about the 5-on-5 play. They pick up 3 5-on-5 goals last night against a very good defensive Columbus team. Granted, Elvis left the crease, and that helped a little bit, but, you know, it's taking advantage of the opportunities that you have. And, I think if people can, you know, shut themselves off, if a lot of longtime Hawks fans who have, you know, reservations or issues with the direction this franchise has decided to go and trying to, you know, tear things down a little in order to build things back up again, if they can, you know, take away any bitterness from that part from a mental standpoint and see how this team is working hard again and all seem to be on the same page here since those first 4 games of the season. I don't know how people can't see the progress being made from a systematic standpoint and a structural standpoint.
It's the way of the NHL now. No team is going to be able to sustain that meteoric level for as long as we've seen teams like, especially Chicago, maintain it for as long as they have. I mean, listen, when in the heyday of Chicago, they were fantastic, and the Los Angeles Kings were pretty good right around that time. Well, look at the Kings. They've been in the doldrums a lot longer than Chicago has. Same thing's going to happen, you know, for a Tampa Bay here shortly. There's going to be a lot of other situations where these types of things are going to... You just can't. You can't maintain being, you know, at the top of the league forever and ever. And the way that this team is rebuilding back, and the way that they've put the focus on A, how they draft, and then B, complementing those drafts with picking up free agents from Europe or wherever they may be. That's what you want to do. You have layers of support, and we're seeing that right now with this organization. I've had some unbelievable conversations with Stan Bowman, and I understand the direction that these guys are going in. And when you look at the totality of the pieces and how quickly I think that they've come together and where they're at currently given the situation, it's many, many, many more positives than it is negatives for this organization. And listen, I know I'm the new guy. I was in Vegas for 2 years. This is only my second season, you know, sort of covering the Chicago Blackhawks. But I've seen enough and I've been around enough to know that what is happening here is special, and it is going to take a moment. But trust me, when it comes around, and it's going to come around quicker than everybody thinks, it's going to be real good.
Well, and another interesting thing that I've heard over the course of the last week or so, when people have noticed how much better this team has been playing, I've had, you know, some listeners, some fans come up and see me and say, "Hey, I wonder how good this team would be if Taves and Doc were healthy and available and seeing how these guys around them." Well, that's all well and good. We all wish that. But by the same token, these other guys, we have 5 players on this Blackhawks team this season who have made their NHL debuts, the most recent being Reese Johnson. And, you know, it would kind of interrupt the process. Yes, of course we'd want Taves and Doc around, but by the same token, that is opening the door and allowing you to see more of these players and see what their capabilities they are and how they handle the very best league in the world, you know, not only from an NHL debut, but okay, let's see how, now that Reese Johnson's tape is out there, how he responds moving forward in the Carolina game, how Ian Mitchell responds over the course of the season, or Philip Kurashev. That's kind of the blueprint of what this team is going through this year. And unfortunately, yeah, we'd love to have Johnny and Kirby along for the ride, especially.
For sure.
You know, but this is also opening some doors, and it's taking advantage of this opportunity with the hand that they've been dealt to learn a little bit more about what we were just discussing, these pieces that they can use here down the road.
Well, and look at it this way. Guys that have gotten their debuts are performing. Reese Johnson last night, in his debut, he had 7 hits. He had 7 hits. That's a lot of hits for a guy that's
getting
his nose into the NHL. I'm sorry, that's a big number, right? And then you've got, you know, Zadorov the same way. He's coming in, he's playing physical. He had 6 hits. That's a third time this year he's had 6 or more. And by the way, he leads blue liners in the NHL with 41 already this season in just 10 games. But I think a lot of it goes back to, and this is something that we sort of touched on with Coach, but he is a straight with you guy. There's no guesswork good or bad, whether you played great or whether you played bad, you're not going to leave the rink with a question mark on what Jeremy Colleton thinks of the way that you played. And what that does is it gives these guys and bolsters these guys and gives them an opportunity. They know, and guys, and a couple of rookies have said it, they know that when they come back to the bench, if they've made a mistake, Jeremy's not going to necessarily bench them, because if their intentions were the right intentions, but the execution was missed, well, okay, let's adjust that. Let's get back out there. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. So with a guy like Jeremy, who is the great communicator, and he is very player's coach, I would say, I mean, he's a guy that I would want to play for. I feel like you're seeing these young guys not necessarily make mistakes, and they go out there with a little bit of less weight on their shoulders. They're not so afraid. They're not gripping the stick so tight. And that development right now in this situation will pay dividends that will put them far ahead of their opponents, I think, in a very short order.
Yeah, and all you have to do is go back to last night's postgame. If anyone heard Jeremy talk about seeing something that Kuryshev did that a lot of fans may not be aware of in that Friday night game, he's held off the score sheet, but using what he saw to bump him up to that line, and you know, maybe Suter tries his chances with some of the other guys further down the lineup, and as a result, it's you know, pushing those right buttons, pulling when you have to, you know, pushing guys, pulling back when you have to. That's, you know, the give and take with some of these young players that are so prevalent on this Blackhawks roster right now. We're going to take another break here, our final one here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Nick and I back with more conversation straight ahead on 720 WGN.
It's nice to see the young guys get a chance and get an opportunity. You can feel some of their nervous energy, and it's good. It's nice to have that in the room, and I think a lot of guys are working really hard. When you have speed and you work hard, usually it's a good combination.
That's Duncan Keith from earlier today, and kind of what we were touching on with head coach Jeremy Colleton earlier when he joined us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Ismondi with you for about 10 more minutes here as we wrap up this Monday show. We kept it to one guest, and that being Jeremy Colleton, so we don't want to... Hope you don't mind Nick and I blabbering the rest of the way here, but I thought we'd bring up some points that need to be particularly highlighted with this team right now. And you know, before the break, I was mentioning how, you know, Jeremy and his coaching staff, you know, pulling players, especially some of these young players, and finding out what works and what doesn't. If they see something, promoting them, rewarding them for some of the little things that may not be as noticeable. And on the other hand, you know, trying some guys with different line mates or different defensive partners. And, you know, Pia Suter, before he scored that goal the other night, he was knocked down a couple of lines because he had been centering for Janmark and Kane. And now with Kuryshev sliding in, I think he only saw one shift before he scored that goal in the third period. And all of a sudden, you don't know if that was a button that Jeremy pushed, but nevertheless, Suter went out there and was able to deliver. And, you know, as you're going along with a young team, with some of these inexperienced guys, that's what you like to see, that type of response from some of these younger players, even if, you know, they may be dealt in their mind a little bit of a setback within a game.
Yeah, not only does he score that goal and come off the bench a little bit cold, probably in his head a touch, but clearly not, because he comes out and he scores a veteran goal. That's a smart play. We talked to him after the game last night, but he says he had watched Merlikens play that game and knew what his tendencies were, knew that he was going to try to play that puck in the direction that he did. So he was already ready to jump on the loose puck, and then when he makes that mistake, he's smart enough to know, okay, I'm just going to throw it at the net. I'm going to bank it off the goalie. Maybe it goes in, maybe it doesn't, but 100% the right play. He took a look around. He had no passing option. He wasn't going to be able to make a move and beat Merzlikens out into the front of the crease right there until he was back and set. So he makes that bank play off, and it scores a goal, and it's a big goal at a big time. And it's something like that that just tells me, okay, he's thinking on another level, and he's out there comfortable, and he's also out there motivated.
Yeah, we kicked around the idea of taking some questions on social media. One of our guys, Brandon, is a big fan of the show. We really appreciate that. He gave us a shout out here, and he wants to know, is it too early to say Calder for Lankinen, or do I dare forbid say Vezina, given he continues to play the way that he has been? Thanks a lot. Thanks for your question, Brandon. And I mean, I don't know about Vezina. Let's pump the brakes there a little bit. But from Calder, yeah, the way he's been performing so far, he should definitely be in the mix. I haven't we're so centered on the Central Division because those are the only teams we're playing. Sometimes we tend not to pay as much attention to what else is going on in the league in those three other divisions. But keep this up. Kevin Lankinen, keep this up. And he's a confident guy enough to keep this up, you would think. Still a big body of work, 46 games to go. But with what he has put on the ice so far, he'd be very deserving for consideration, Nick.
Yeah, I think he's in the mix. And you know what? Let's not overlook the play of Suter. He's got a team. He's team-leading fourth goal, but he leads NHL rookies as well. So, you know, he would be in the conversation. But Lankinen, for sure. Love Brandon. I got to get you on his. He's got a podcast. He's just kind of getting going, Bodes. We got to get you over there. You can have a conversation with Brandon. But it's I think that for sure. And I think he's got – I agree with you wholeheartedly. He's got that confidence, and I love that confidence. I mean, you can just see it. It's almost Robin Leonard-esque, if you ask me.
Yeah. Our buddy Katrina checking in as well. Her big question is whether you went to Palace Grill last season when you were here covering the team. Everybody goes to Palace Grill. You've been to Palace Grill.
Absolutely. It became my very unhealthy pregame, post-game escape routine.
It's all healthy over there.
George is the man. He's incredibly lovable. I remember I would go in after practice at the UC on morning skate, and I'd walk down, and whatever breakfast I had that morning, if the Hawks won that night, the next game day, I would go in and do the same thing, and George recognized it. Well, we went on a little bit of a rip there last season where I was doing like the heavy meat breakfast skillet, and let's just say the suits are a little tighter in February.
For me, it's a question, okay, do I work out between the morning skate and the game, or do I go over to George? I don't think it can be both, but delicious stuff, and we love George over at the Palace there. And we heard Duncan Keith coming out of that break, you know, and as we spend the last 4 or 5 minutes here on the show, let's just circle back to the way these guys are handling it. Because for all the rumors, and perhaps there was an initial dose of shock when you see, you know, your two-time fellow Stanley Cup winners, Corey Crawford and Brandon Saad, go out the door in a matter of 3 days or so. I'm sure there was a certain level of shock. But professional athletes, for the most part, if you are professional, there's a reset factor for all of them. And I don't think there's any question that guys like Kane and Keith and Andrew Shaw have hit the reset button and are doing everything they can to speed this process up.
Well, you get a guy like Andrew Shaw who missed so much of last year, and he worked so hard to get himself back, not only during the year last year, but then also this summer when he was at home at his cottage on the lake, and it was just a tireless effort to make sure that he was ready to roll. So you get a guy like Andrew who gets back into the mix and who's also just such a leader and such a fun-loving guy to be around, like he breathes and brings into that energy into the room. And then a guy like Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane, I mean, these guys are rock stars. They're legends. You can't help but look up to them, and you can't help but feed off of them. And I think you're seeing Kane be the great provider. I mean, he's doing so much. He's doing so much to kind of help the guys around him, and you can see that he's a distributor right now. Yeah, he's scoring points for sure, but I think the contribution from Patrick Kane right now is more about who he is as a hockey player and a leader, and what he invokes on the ice by putting guys in good positions, by making smart plays, by creating opportunities, and in turn that builds up confidence for the other guys. And man, oh man, I mean, let's talk about Keith. I mean, what, 25 plus ice time last night, 6 shots on net. 27th time
he's had 10 attempts total too. Yeah, he was really firing from up top. I think that was a point of assertion on his part as well, to get pucks on net with all the 5-on-5 talk too.
Did you see what he said in the pregame or the postgame the post practice press conference about his Corsi numbers? He says he's trying to get that up so everybody thinks he's good. I think you're all right there, Dunks.
Yeah,
you're all right.
Dunk was a little mischievous today with reporters. You know, asking what kind of music was being blasted at Fifth Third Arena as well. Yeah. Hey, let's take a sneak peek ahead, because it's another challenging week. And again, curiosity rises too in terms of how the Blackhawks are handling this. Columbus, a very disciplined playoff caliber team, finding a way into the playoffs each of these last 2 years in that Eastern Conference, and being a very legitimate playoff team, and knocking off Tampa Bay 1 year, given everything they could handle in the bubble last year. Now you go to a couple of other teams on the rise, this Carolina squad, even though they have been hit hard by COVID. You look at their numbers. a 1.67 goals against average so far this season. That leads the league. They only allow 23 shots per game. That's second in the league. That's the challenge for the Blackhawks these next couple of nights against Carolina, even though they lost one of their goaltenders. And then it's a Dallas team. Dallas was rolling along at 4-0. And then they went into Carolina and got beaten twice. One game held to 11 shots on goal. And then the Blackhawks will have the challenge this coming weekend, going to Dallas for a matinee on Sunday, then again playing next Tuesday night. I'm just curious, and it's going to be fun to see how the Blackhawks fare against these two teams.
Yeah, big test here. Next four games, really going to be another measuring stick for this group and see how they respond to two very different styles of hockey. You've got a very defensively minded, smart, calculated, chess-playing Carolina Hurricanes, and then you've got an offense-powered, you know, jacked up on steroids Dallas offense. You know, not literally, just metaphorically
speaking. And without Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting to see. This Carolina team is good. Ron Brind'Amour, very similar coach that Jeremy Colleton is, a very player-minded coach, a guy who, you know, puts his boys first and kind of puts them on his back. So interesting to see how they do. That's a good team. Hayden Fleury's good. Aho has been brilliant for them. Svechnikov. I like that Carolina team a lot. And Dallas, listen, I mean, you're the Stanley Cup runner-up. You got a slow start to your season. Maybe you did a little extra work and got ahead. Maybe you got to watch a little bit more.
It's nice to see the young guys get a chance and get an opportunity. You can feel some of their nervous energy, and it's good. It's nice to have that in the room, and I think a lot of guys are working really hard. When you have speed and you work hard, usually it's a good combination.
That's Duncan Keith from earlier today, and kind of what we were touching on with head coach Jeremy Colleton earlier when he joined us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Chris Bowden, Nick Ismondi with you for about 10 more minutes here as we wrap up this Monday show. We kept it to one guest, and that being Jeremy Colleton, so we don't want to... Hope you don't mind Nick and I blabbering the rest of the way here, but I thought we'd bring up some points that need to be particularly highlighted with this team right now. And you know, before the break, I was mentioning how, you know, Jeremy and his coaching staff, you know, pulling players, especially some of these young players, and finding out what works and what doesn't. If they see something, promoting them, rewarding them for some of the little things that may not be as noticeable. And on the other hand, you know, trying some guys with different line mates or different defensive partners. And, you know, Pia Suter, before he scored that goal the other night, he was knocked down a couple of lines because he had been centering for Janmark and Kane. And now with Kurashev sliding in, I think he only saw one shift before he scored that goal in the third period. And all of a sudden, you don't know if that was a button that Jeremy pushed, but nevertheless, Suter went out there and was able to deliver. And, you know, as you're going along with a young team, with some of these inexperienced guys, that's what you like to see, that type of response from some of these younger players, even if, you know, they may be dealt in their mind a little bit of a setback within a game.
Yeah, not only does he score that goal and come off the bench a little bit cold, probably in his head a touch, but clearly not, because he comes out and he scores a veteran goal. That's a smart play. We talked to him after the game last night, but he says he had watched Merlikens play that game and knew what his tendencies were, knew that he was going to try to play that puck in the direction that he did. So he was already ready to jump on the loose puck, and then when he makes that mistake, he's smart enough to know, okay, I'm just going to throw it at the net. I'm going to bank it off the goalie. Maybe it goes in, maybe it doesn't, but 100% the right play. He took a look around. He had no passing option. He wasn't going to be able to make a move and beat Merzlikens out into the front of the crease right there until he was back and set. So he makes that bank play off, and it scores a goal, and it's a big goal at a big time. And it's something like that just tells me, okay, he's thinking on another level, and he's out there comfortable, and he's also out there motivated.
Yeah, we kicked around the idea of taking some questions on social media. One of our guys, Brandon, is a big fan of the show. We really appreciate that. He gave us a shout out here, and he wants to know, is it too early to say Calder for Lankinen, or do I dare forbid say Vezina, given he continues to play the way that he has been? Thanks a lot. Thanks for your question, Brandon. And I mean, I don't know about Vezina. Let's pump the brakes there a little bit. But from Calder, yeah, the way he's been performing so far, he should definitely be in the mix. I haven't. You know, we're so centered on the Central Division because those are the only teams we're playing. Sometimes we tend not to pay as much attention to what else is going on in the league in those three other divisions. But keep this up. Kevin Lankinen, keep this up. And he's a confident guy enough to keep this up, you would think. Still a big body of work, 46 games to go. But with what he has put on the ice so far, he'd be very deserving for consideration, Nick.
Yeah, I think he's in the mix. And you know what? Let's not overlook the play of Suter. He's got a team. He's team leading fourth goal, but he leads NHL rookies as well. So, you know, he would be in the conversation. But Lankinen, for sure. Love Brandon. I got to get you on his. He's got a podcast. He's just kind of getting going. Bodes. We got to get you over there. You can have a conversation with Brandon. But it's I think that for sure. And I think he's got. I agree with you wholeheartedly. He's got that confidence, and I love that confidence. I mean, you can just see it. It's almost Robin Leonard-esque, if you ask me.
Yeah. Our buddy Katrina checking in as well. Her big question is whether you went to Palace Grill last season when you were here covering the team. Everybody goes to Palace Grill. You've been to Palace Grill.
Absolutely. It became my very unhealthy pregame, post-morning skate routine.
It's all healthy over there.
George is the man. He's incredibly lovable. I remember I would go in after practice at the UC on morning skate, and I'd walk down, and whatever breakfast I had that morning, if the Hawks won that night, the next game day, I would go in and do the same thing, and George recognized it. Well, we went on a little bit of a rip there last season where I was doing like the heavy meat breakfast skillet, and let's just say the suits are a little tighter in February.
Yeah. For me, it's a question, okay, do I work out between the morning skate and the game, or do I go over to George? I don't think it can be both, but delicious stuff, and we love George over at the Palace there. And we heard Duncan Keith coming out of that break, you know, and as we spend the last 4 or 5 minutes here on the show, let's just circle back to the way these guys are handling it. Because for all the rumors, and perhaps there was an initial dose of shock when you see, you know, your two-time fellow Stanley Cup winners, Corey Crawford and Brandon Saad, go out the door in a matter of 3 days or so. I'm sure there was a certain level of shock. But professional athletes, for the most part, if you are professional, there's a reset factor for all of them. And I don't think there's any question that guys like Kane and Keith and Andrew Shaw have hit the reset button and are doing everything they can to speed this process up.
Well, you get a guy like Andrew Shaw who missed so much of last year, and he worked so hard to get himself back, not only during the year last year, but then also this summer when he was at home at his cottage on the lake, and it was just a tireless effort to make sure that he was ready to roll. So you get a guy like Andrew who gets back into the mix and who's also just such a leader and such a fun-loving guy to be around, like he breathes and brings into that energy into the room. And then a guy like Duncan Keith and Patrick Kane, I mean, these guys are rock stars. They're legends. You can't help but look up to them, and you can't help but feed off of them. And I think you're seeing Kane be the great provider. I mean, he's doing so much. He's doing so much to kind of help the guys around him, and you can see that he's a distributor right now. Yeah, he's scoring points for sure, but I think the contribution from Patrick Kane right now is more about who he is as a hockey player and a leader, and what he invokes on the ice by putting guys in good positions, by making smart plays, by creating opportunities, and in turn that builds up confidence for the other guys. And man, oh man, I mean, let's talk about Keith. I mean, what, 25 plus ice time last night, 6 shots on net. 27th time
he's had 10 attempts total too. Yeah, he was really firing from up top.
It's incredible.
I think that was a point of assertion on his part as well, to get pucks on net with all the 5-on-5 talk too.
Did you see what he said in the pregame or the postgame the post practice press conference about his Corsi numbers? He says he's trying to get that up so everybody thinks he's good. Nick, you're all right there, Dunks.
Yeah,
you're all right.
Dunk was a little mischievous today with reporters. You know, asking what kind of music was being blasted at Fifth Third Arena as well. Yeah. Hey, let's take a sneak peek ahead, because it's another challenging week. And again, curiosity rises too in terms of how the Blackhawks are handling this. Columbus, very disciplined playoff caliber team, finding a way into the playoffs each of these last 2 years in that Eastern Conference, and being a very legitimate playoff team, and knocking off Tampa Bay 1 year, given everything they could handle in the bubble last year. Now you go to a couple of other teams on the rise, this Carolina squad, even though they have been hit hard by COVID. You look at their numbers, a 1.67 goals against average so far this season. That leads the league. They only allow 23 shots per game. That's second in the league. That's the challenge for the Blackhawks these next couple of nights against Carolina, even though they lost one of their goaltenders. And then it's a Dallas team. Dallas was rolling along at 4-0, and then they went into Carolina and got beaten twice. One game held to 11 shots on goal, And that the Blackhawks will have the challenge this coming weekend, going to Dallas for a matinee on Sunday, then again playing next Tuesday night. I'm just curious, and it's going to be fun to see how the Blackhawks fare against these two teams.
Yeah, big test here. Next four games, really going to be another measuring stick for this group and see how they respond to two very different styles of hockey. You've got a very defensively minded, smart, calculated, chess-playing Carolina Hurricanes, and then you've got an offense-powered, you know, jacked up on steroids Dallas offense. You know, not literally, just metaphorically
speaking. And without Tyler Seguin.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be interesting to see. This Carolina team is good. Ron Brind'Amour, very similar coach that Jeremy Colleton is, a very player-minded coach, a guy who, you know, puts his boys first and kind of puts them on his back. So interesting to see how they do. That's a good team. Hayden Fleury's good. Aho has been brilliant for them. Svechnikov. I like that Carolina team a lot. And Dallas, listen, I mean, you're the Stanley Cup runner-up. You got a slow start to your season. Maybe you did a little extra work and got ahead. Maybe you got to watch a little bit more. But going to be interesting to see how they respond for sure.
All right. Been fun, Nick. Let's do this again next Monday.
Hey, I'm there.
All right.
Same time, same place.
Sounds like a deal. Thanks to our head coach, Jeremy Carlson, and the Blackhawks media relations staff for setting that up. Thanks to our producer, Curtis Koch, and to Brett Jackson for spinning the dials. It is 8 o'clock. Coming up after the news with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's Phil Menicki. I'm Chris Bowden for Nick Guzmati. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next week.